It was interesting seeing some of the actors kind of not really believing that certain elements of the science could even be possible, you know, let alone kind of realistic.
Hi, this is Universe of Art, a podcast from Science Friday and WNYC Studios about artists who use science to take their work to the next level. I'm D. Peter Schmidt. About a month ago, after many previous months of it sitting on my bookshelf, I finally got around to reading the Hugo Award-winning sci-fi book, The Three-Body Problem by Cixin Liu, and I just absolutely tore through it. It follows the journey of several scientists from the Chinese Cultural Revolution to the present day, as they try to understand why their fellow researchers are dying and why their scientific results no longer make sense. Along the way, they discover an ultra-advanced VR game and a dark secret that suggests we might not be alone in the universe. So when I finished it, I was pleasantly surprised when I found out that the Netflix adaptation of it was only coming out a couple weeks later. Show ran by David Benioff and Dan Weiss, who ran Game of Thrones, in addition to writer Alexander Wu.
Someone or something is targeting scientists.
They're going after our best and brightest. There's someone behind everything. We just have to dig.
And I really wanted to know more about the process of how they adapted the super hard sci-fi and physics in the book for TV. So we got in touch with the show's science advisor, Dr. Matt Kenzie, an associate professor of physics at the University of Cambridge. He spoke to Science Friday guest host Ariel Duham-Ross about that and what it was like working as a TV show science advisor for the first time. And just a heads up, to talk about the science in the show, we do have to reveal some minor spoilers, but we'll try to limit it to the first few episodes, and I swear the show is still worth watching. Here's Ariel.
So Matt, the book and the show include some pretty complicated physics concepts. You know, we're talking about particle accelerators, which you work with, nanofibers, astrophysics. When you were asked to be the science advisor, what was your reaction?
Well, I was kind of excited, really, to get involved in the project. I mean, it's a little bit different from my day-to-day job, which is, you know, as a particle physics researcher. And I really kind of enjoyed the book or the book series and lots of the kind of concepts it explores and concepts kind of beyond science in sociology and so on. So I guess, yeah, I was pretty excited to get involved and to see how they were going to try and put this kind of epic novel series onto the screen.
That's really nice to hear. Had you read the book before, you know, before you were even asked to be an advisor?
No, I hadn't actually. But when I first got contacted by Dan and David, the creators of the show, we threw back and forth a couple of questions and ideas. And then they started asking me for a bit more feedback. And at that point, I thought it would be a good idea to actually read the book. And then I crashed through the whole trilogy in a couple of weeks. I got really, really into it.
Wow. Okay. So I got to ask, once you actually started your role as science advisor for the show, did you worry about having to teach the show writers and actors to talk about this stuff accurately?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I worried too much. I mean, the creators of the show are really smart guys, but I did do a kind of physics 101 or physics crash course kind of right at the beginning. And I had a couple of days around the time they were doing the kind of read-throughs of the scripts with some of the cast, and they kind of asked various different questions about not just the science in the show, but I think about scientists and how we kind of would approach problems or how we would think about certain scenarios.
What were some of the actors' reactions to getting these physics lessons?
Yeah, it was kind of varied. It was interesting seeing some of the actors kind of not really believing that certain elements of the science could even be possible, you know, let alone kind of realistic.
Right. I mean, some of this stuff is really mind-bending, right? Like, for instance, the three-body problem, right? The name of the show is a famous concept in astrophysics. And I want to ask you about that. I want to know, what role does this problem play in the show? And if you could actually explain it, that would also be great.
Yeah, so I mean, as the title suggests, it plays a pretty significant role. In essence, the three-body problem, or the n-body problem, is where you have any number of objects more than two that are all exerting a significant force on each other. And in that scenario, if you know their initial velocities and their starting positions, you can then use the equations of motion to tell you exactly where any of those bodies will be at any point in the future. But once you have three bodies or more, you now cannot solve that equation.
So the introduction of a third body kind of throws everything out of whack and makes everything hard to predict.
Yeah. So if you could imagine us living in a three-body system or a system with three similarly sized stars that are all kind of similar distance apart, so they're all exerting a similar size force on each other, then you end up in completely chaotic orbits. You do not know when the year's going to end, when the day's going to end. You have no concept of seasons. So that's the three-body problem.
Ah, okay.
And of course, this plays a really significant part in the show.
Well, what role does the three-body problem play in the show itself?
Well, essentially something that our physicist characters get exposed to fairly early on is this kind of virtual reality game. And you go into this virtual reality world and it seems to be on another kind of planet or in some kind of different planetary system. And there is very erratic behavior of the sun, or as it transpires, suns in this system. And eventually the characters kind of work out that this planet goes through these kind of shocking, chaotic eras where the planet will melt or the planet will freeze. And essentially what our characters work out is that this game is set in a system with three suns.
Right. So in this game, they're on a planet. There's also a species, I think, that's living on this planet, which means that that species would be living in highly variable conditions, right? Like
yes.
Apocalyptic on a highly irregular basis.
Right. So that species does very well not to become extinct.
Right. It depicts what living on a planet in a three-body system would actually look like, right? And you had to advise the show on how to translate that for the screen. What details did you decide to include to get that experience of life across?
I mean, we talked about things like, you know, there's going to be three different suns, and sometimes they'll be very close to the planet, sometimes they'll be very far away. And so you can have so many different kinds of sunset and sunrise, right? You can have a sun that appears very quickly and then plummets away, or you might have an incredibly slow sunrise that lasts many, many Earth days. And of course, then you can get anything in between where you have two suns rising. So it's a perfectly temperate day, and then the two suns kind of line up near each other and it suddenly becomes incredibly hot, or they then both disappear and it becomes freezing. And at the studio, they had this whole massive stage, which was kind of surrounded on three sides by this huge screen, essentially banks of LED lights covered by a sheet that was, must have been 10 meters high and 40 meters long or something. And it meant they could just emulate this environment in the most incredible way. So these scenes you see that are set in the game have these effects where you have double sunrises or low sunrises. And yeah, so it was kind of fun to imagine what these would look like and the color spectrums that you'd get out of that.
We don't get a lot of shows that feature this many scientists. In particular, this show has a ton of women researchers, which is really nice to see. Is there anything you hope people will take away from the way these researchers are portrayed in the show?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it can be inspirational on some level, but the fact that there are a lot of female scientists in the show is great. There is also a lot of scientists from different ethnic backgrounds, which I think is,
yes,
you know, also good.
And frankly, realistic.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think that was a question that I was asked quite early on by the creators, saying, do you think people will really buy that these people are physicists? And I said, well, I bought that they were physicists because, you know, I think that the stereotype is someone who is quite reclusive and not very good at communicating, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is that, you know, you have to be able to communicate, and the people who are successful tend to be quite good at communicating. And I think also the fact that the characters are kind of, inverted commas, quite normal, okay? Like, you know, one of them's a kind of a bit of a Jack the Lad, one of them's a bit quiet. There are two that sort of have an ongoing romance, but it's not that serious. And they're sort of this old group of really close friends. I think that draws a lot of parallels with my experience. Yeah. I said I found that perfectly plausible, basically.
Yeah, that's a very nice thing of you to point out. By the way, this is somewhat off topic, but I was told that you grew up in a film and TV production family. I think your dad worked on Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of how I got the job, I guess. My dad was the director of photography on the second series of Game of Thrones. And so I went out to the set, and at the time I was part of the team looking for the Higgs boson. And I think, yeah, I met Dan and David and they kind of indulged me to some sense. And I talked to them for half an hour about particle physics, probably. But then, you know, I didn't hear from them then for, I don't know how long, a long time. I mean, my dad has been dead for 12 years now. So it must have been 12, 14 years later or something that they then reached out to me. They were kind of putting the show together, realized we could do with some advice from a particle physicist. But yes, that was how I got into it. But it's still pretty different from what I normally do.
Right. Well, it does sound like that, you know, makes you the perfect candidate for this type of job in this particular instance. Dr. Kenzie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this show.
No problem at all.
Dr. Matt Kenzie is an associate professor of physics at the University of Cambridge in the UK.
Universe of Art is hosted and produced by me, Dee Peterschmidt, and I also wrote the music. Our episode art was illustrated by Abel Hayford, and support for Science Friday's science and arts coverage comes from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. We'll be back in 2 weeks. See ya!